Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, she's already here and we're set to go. Thanksgiving Day is tomorrow and I got to tell you, the women are already working in the kitchen in my house and they've got a turkey going on there. They're preparing it. They got a ham going on there. They got apple pie, pumpkin pie. They got it working. Yeah. So they told me I had to fast today in order to have some tomorrow. But the devil is a liar. I don't have to fast. No, indeed. No. I can have my regular meal today and have my Thanksgiving meal tomorrow. Well, we have a wonderful show in store for you. We've been doing this series on that apostate program called The Chosen. It's look, what else could I call it? And that's a disclaimer. That's not Sister AJ's opinion. That's just my opinion. Sister AJ, she can speak for herself. But that's my opinion. I'm going to bring her on shortly to talk about it. Before I do, let me just remind everyone that we are praying for a gentleman named Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris is a gentleman who's in his 60s, and he has come down with cancer. He's got cancer in the bone, and you will remember or you will kind of know who he is because for numerous years here, for many, many years, we had a member of this radio family named Linda Morris. She lived in North Carolina. Sister Linda passed away last year of cancer. And she was a faithful, faithful, faithful listener every day, wonderful sister in Christ, solid in the Lord, founded, grounded, grounded in Jesus. And so this is her baby brother, and he's come down with cancer in the bone, and we've been speaking on and off. And in fact, today he is at the hospital there finding out how they are going to proceed with the chemotherapy. So they have a strategy. They're going to share with him that strategy today, and he is set to call me this evening to just share with me what the strategy is and how we can go about praying. So in your prayers every day, please pray for Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris, a brother in Christ. He loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. Grew up in the church. His father was a pastor. His mother was an evangelist. Solid, solid, solid foundation in Christ Jesus. And he's just asking for prayer. Also, we were in studio yesterday, Sister Marie and I. We had a wonderful time doing a show on Jude 1:4, The Creepers. And boy, I got to tell you, look, the creepers are everywhere. If you thought the creepers were just in the black church or in the charismatic church or in the Word of Faith church, listen, the creepers are everywhere. They're in Baptist churches. They're in Methodist churches. If you have a name church on you, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the creepers would show up at Church's Chicken simply because churches can have the name church in it. These people hear church, and they're sending in false teachers. So great show yesterday. We wrapped up that audio, which was fantastic. You got to listen to the audio. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, again, before I forget, let me just say to everybody, happy Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. And for those brothers out there listening to me, if the wife says that you have to fast today in order to have some gobble, gobble, gobble tomorrow, remember, always test the spirits. Ask her, where is the scripture verse for that? And I can assure you, there is none. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing?
All right, I'm doing great. They're trying to get me to fast. I'm not fasting. I don't need to fast.
I know that's right.
No. What is this? What kind of gospel is this? I never heard of that before.
They speak in an unknown tongue.
That's it. I don't understand that language. No. My grandmother, who was a woman of God, she never told us to fast the day before Thanksgiving. The devil is a liar. I'm looking at the stuff that I'm saying. Wow, that looks all good. Yeah. Okay. Tighten up today. You can't drink water. Just water. What? Drink water. No, that's not happening. That's not happening. So how's the weather by you? Is it nice?
Well, yeah, it's in the 70s today, but it's windy, though. But tomorrow it's going to be a bit cooler and still windy. But the weather not bad so far.
It's freezing here. It's freezing, 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 freezing. And I don't know if you heard, but we have two additions to the family. My wife talked me into letting her.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, this morning when the temperatures were really, really freezing, guess who was out there with the two pups? Me. Right? They were shivering. I was shivering. That's it. And I was expecting them to do their business outside. And as soon as they came in, as soon as I put them on the floor, they did their business.
Tinkle, tinkle.
That's it. They did their business. I'm telling you. I'm in for trouble.
You are, bro. We'll be praying for you.
That's it. I tell you.
Well, they're both going to get some great snacks tomorrow after for Thanksgiving,
you,
I'm sure.
You know it. You know it. Absolutely. I don't see them dogs fasting. They're not fasting today. Why am I fasting?
That's right.
I'm not. No. They fed the puppies today. I didn't see nobody told them to fast.
Right. That's right.
Yep. So the world is spinning out of control.
It is.
The world is just spinning out of control. This guy got in this car, and he started to mow down a bunch of people. And you're scratching your head, and you're saying, "What kind of human being? What kind of soul gets into a car and just deliberately mows down women and children and everybody? Who does that? And
I guess that's an example of what the Bible calls a seared conscience. We call them sociopaths or psychopaths, but the Bible says their conscience is seared.
I tell you, something's not right. This is all over. This is not just, this is happening with more frequency. When Jesus said that there'll be earthquakes and you'll have them with
abound.
More. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, Thanksgiving, my goodness. Can you imagine there are six people that died so far, many more, in intensive care with their life on the balance. Can you imagine
many people injured? There may be some more deaths, and most of them are little kids and elderly.
Right. And they just, you've been locked in your house for a year and a half. You finally get to go out and watch a parade. And here comes this guy, mowing people. It's just crazy. We live in a crazy world.
Yes.
We just live in a crazy world. And then you look at the inflation. You look at the prices. You look at gas. You look at heating costs. You look at food. It's just, it's just crazy. It's mind-boggling.
You look around and you're like, Lord, what is this place that we find ourselves in? But we can take comfort in knowing, as you always say, the Lord is still on the throne. None of this is taking him by surprise, and he even warned us about these things. And so our trust and faith is ultimately in him. But it's still hard to watch, though. I just have to turn off the news sometimes.
That's it. You just gotta say, it's the world we live in, it's the conditions that we live in, and you just hope and pray that the church remains the church, which is what we see today. The church is slipping and sliding.
If
you're going to church to get any
more and more.
Yeah. If you're going to church to get any word of sanity, you can kiss that goodbye.
Right. You'd be safer in church's kitchen.
That's right. You'd be safer in church's chicken than in church.
Right.
Listen, in church's chicken, right, you give your money and they give you food back.
You get
in church,
something.
You get
yes.
nothing. You get nothing.
Absolutely.
You get
but
nothing.
Leaven.
That's it.
And I, I would call. I might have to still borrow Sister Marie's term as far as the creepers, because that's what I would say Dallas Jenkins is. You know, he's
sure.
one of those guys that has crept in, and
mm-hmm.
and he does it in such a way that is beguiling and captivating to people with
sure.
these films and videos that he's made, because, you know, just looking at entertainment and cinematography and a lot of things that just go into that medium, they're pretty good. So that it's
right.
easy to get people to drop their guard. So I would say he's a creeper.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's a guy I never – listen, I told you, I'm a very honest guy. I don't know everybody. I don't know all the heresies that are out there. You know, I know about Dallas Jenkins because you introduced this series, and I didn't even know, you know, when you think of the Left Behind series,
right.
There are two authors in that Left Behind series. It's Tim LaHaye, and
mm-hmm.
and Jerry Jenkins, right? Tim LaHaye
right.
is far more known, well known than Jerry Jenkins. Far more celebrated.
Yes.
Tim LaHaye, he had this book out called The Act of Marriage, which every pastor in America was using to do premarital counseling. You know, Tim and his wife Beverly, well known in, you know, I only heard of Jerry Jenkins when the Left Behind series came about. I didn't even know who he was.
Right.
Much less did I know that he had a son named Dallas. I didn't know he had a son named Dallas. But now, I mean, the kid is more dangerous than his dad. He's more dangerous.
Yes.
Far more.
Because it's very subtly, he introduces certain ideas with his characterization of Jesus that are not biblical at all, and some of them may even be heretical, that, you know, that we looked at last time we got together last week's show about it seemed that some things that Jenkins Jesus was saying about the things that the reason he came was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. First of all, even though Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, he never said that I'm here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said he's here to seek and save those who are lost, among other things along those lines. And it just reminded me of some other kingdom ideas that are out there that are just heretical. And last week we listened to Miles Monroe as an example of what I thought of that exact quote video when I heard Jenkins Jesus say that, and it was pretty appalling to me that these ideas about that, what the kingdom is and what Jesus actually came for, is here show it rearing its head again.
Right, right, right. See, the scary thing about Dallas Jenkins is from the gate, from the opening moment, he is out front in telling me that this series is not about Jesus.
Right.
So now,
or that Jesus doesn't make a good main character because of the character arc that you like to have when you're telling a story about a certain person.
Right, right.
He
right,
doesn't have
right.
a growth period because he's God, and that's why Dallas chooses, when he does feature Jesus, to emphasize human things about him.
Right, right. But you see, if I was sitting across from Dallas and Dallas said, you know, he doesn't make a good story, I said, but, you know, that's odd. What you just said is so odd, because there is a movie on the life of Christ called the greatest story ever told.
Uh-huh.
So you must be immortal.
And that was made by the world, by the way. I don't think the people involved with that really were Christians at the time.
Right. It's just Hollywood saying, hey, this is a good story. We can make a lot of money on this.
Right.
Right? And here's this guy saying, no, you can't make a lot of money on this. Nobody would be interested in it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So then I would say to him, and, you know, you pretty much remind me of the first century false teachers whom the Apostle John warns us of, who come and they preach another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, think about it. Let me just read from John's second epistle. Let me read from the second epistle of John, starting at verse number 7. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we know that John is addressing Gnosticism, right? Okay.
Right.
But it goes on to say in verse 8, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you may receive a full reward. In other words, don't let no one con you, lead you astray away from Jesus. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. In other words, the person who doesn't abide in a biblical Christology, because there is a biblical, not the Christology of the Mormons, not the Christology of the Jehovah's Witnesses, not the Christology of the Roman Catholic Church, which we know is an assault on biblical Christology. So he goes on to say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Christ is Christology, he have not God. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not receive him into your house and do not bid him Godspeed. You're to have nothing to do with someone who has a weird Christology. And that's what he has. That's what he's promoting from house to house. He's promoting an unbiblical Christology.
Right.
That's what he's doing. And look who he has partnered with. Running over to the Mormons so that they can help him.
Unbiblical Christology. All those groups you named.
That's it.
The Catholic, the Roman Catholics, and because he has a Roman Catholic priest on his consulting team, and he and Jink and Jesus went to meet the Pope.
Right. Absolutely. To get some kind of approval, to get some kind of validation. Because the way they were going to spin this was, hey, if we show that we met with the Pope, then the Catholic audience will buy into it. Because we got the Mormons buying into it, and we got the dopey Christians buying into it. So now we can get the Catholic audience, which is huge. That's why he went over there to bootlick the Pope's shoes for no other reason.
That's right.
So
the man that plays Jink and Jesus, Jonathan Rumi is his name. He's a devoted Catholic too, by the way.
Right. So there you go. You are partnering with unbelievers to promote this. And he'll probably say, you know, he'll probably say to me, no, you're the moron, because didn't Mel Gibson partner with Hollywood?
Right.
And I would say, no, he did not. That was his movie. He put all the money up. He took all the backlash from the Jewish community who said that he was portraying them as betrayers of Christ, as murderers of Christ. And you see, mm-hmm. when you preach the real gospel, that's the kind of reaction that you get from those groups.
Right.
See, that is the kind of reaction you're supposed to get because you are portraying the Bible accurately. So, no, this guy, he sold out. And he has a different Christology. Listen, it's just like Joel Osteen has a different Christology. Kenneth Copeland has a different. And look, if you start there, if you mess with Jesus, if you tamper with the Jesus of the Bible, and people believe in your version of Jesus, they are not saved.
Right.
And that's why these groups.
How many people just looking at these video streams and in the comments and stuff that people will say, I never knew Jesus this way before, and I'm having it. And I think that the way Jesus is portrayed in this film or series, I should say, is his personality, the way he was, the way he interacted with his disciples in particular.
Right, look, the same thing has crept into the pulpit. People want a pastor who will make them laugh. They want a pastor who is going to come in shorts the way they come in shorts. You see, they want a pastor to show up on Super Bowl Sunday morning with a jersey on and to have some goalpost, you know, in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So when you become that kind of pastor, people flock to you. Oh my goodness, he's so down to earth. And so they learn that if you make Jesus down to earth, he'll be popular.
To make him more relatable, that's the goal.
Right. But you see, Jesus didn't come down here to become more relatable. He came down here to save me. I was a wretched mm-hmm. sinner. In fact, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind
That's
does
right.
not relate to God at all.
We don't want anything to do with him.
Right. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who
mm-hmm.
can know what the heart will do? Right? So again, here we have these men debasing Jesus. That's what they're doing. Debate and anything
mm-hmm.
that you debase. Right now we have a debased currency. They've taken
yes.
they've flooded the economy, right? With so many dollars. This is why we have inflation. Because the currency is worthless.
Right.
The currency
you
is
may
debased.
As well go into the store with a roll of toilet paper because that's about how much the money is worth.
That's it. Right? The money's basically worthless. So this is what's been going on, a debasing in every area of society. They
mm-hmm.
debase, they try to debase our children with their pornographic curriculum. They try to debase
mm-hmm.
our sons and our daughters, right? I told you, I'm a Marvel Comics fan. I went to go
mm-hmm.
see that movie Eternals, right? I went to go see it. There's one character there, one of the superheroes, he starts kissing his husband. My son flipped out. Even my son knows, you know, had the two puppies been there, the two puppies would have started barking. They would have said, no, no, you know.
Right.
No, this ain't no good. You see what I'm saying? You can't even take your
right.
family anymore to go see any kind of movie.
Or read the comics, because you know what they did to the Superman or the new Superman.
Right.
And
right.
I saw
sure.
even a new Wonder Woman comic that it's a recent one that series that they're doing, and they've got a trans woman on the island now with the Amazons.
Crazy. It's crazy. So, you know, this is what we have. We have a debased society, and everything around
yes.
us is being debased. The standards are being lowered. and that's it. You know, it's just sad. I don't know if you know about this, but not New York State, but in the five boroughs, now they want to let immigrants vote. Even if they're not citizens, they can vote.
Yeah, I heard about that. Now,
What do they do? See, I can't go to Barbados and vote.
No, I can't
go to Trinidad, Tobago and vote.
You can't vote in any other country, but you can. They want to make it so here.
Right. So they're debasing the right to vote, which is it's one of those privileges of American citizenship. Well, now they're debasing the citizenship because now anybody can vote.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. This is something that's going on. We bought a washing machine. I think it was maybe a year and a half ago. My wife, we need a new one. Okay, we got a washer. So I buy the plan, right? You buy a plan. And I said to my wife, why am I buying a plan if this is a brand-new machine? Why would I need a plan?
It should be under warranty.
right. Okay. So we get the plan. So now the machine is taken in water, but it's not twisting. It's not washing. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls the people with the plan. And so now they're going to have some person come down here, and then the person calls. The person's supposed to go, and so he's only supposed to come for real simple things. If it's the motor, it doesn't fall under the plan.
Wow.
So now it doesn't even pay to be buying these plans because the plans have been debased.
Right. They're all kind of stipulations that where they don't have to cover certain things.
Right. So you're saying, now Lowe's dipped me out of, I guess it was a $100 plan. For 3 years, the plan is worthless because the guy says, well, if it's a switch, I can do something about a switch, but I can't, the motor's out of my league.
So you may as well get a washboard and one of them boards that you use to do your laundry for all that machine's going to be worth.
That's it. No, the thing to do now is to go to a used place, where they sell used appliances, and just buy a machine from there. You buy a machine from, I said to my wife, you go buy a $200 washer machine from a used place. Okay, if it breaks down, you know what you were buying, but these machines are $800 plus the warranty.
Yeah.
You're spending $900, and then in a year, it's gone, a year and a half. It's gone, and so I said, this doesn't even make, doesn't. So I laid hands on it. I was Pentecostal for a day. I laid hands on it. Right. I prayed. I said, Jesus, help me out. And so we didn't use the washing machine like for 2 or 3 days. And then I said, well, try it now because I prayed for it and we gave it a rest. And it's now it's starting to twirl again, but, not like before, but at least, at least it's doing.
You were able to do a couple loads.
Yeah, it's faking. It's faking that it could do something. But
right.
That's it, it's just crazy. It's just. You buy things with a plan, and then you figure, wow, the plan doesn't even work. It was just a plan to get your money.
That's mainly what it is, and they hope that if it is a good plan, they hope it expires before you have to use it.
Correct. So I've already been scammed. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I've been scammed. So that's it. So I got the audio set up for today's show.
Uh-huh.
And, of course,
right.
You know, we want to let the Saints know that there's going to be some nitpicking here today.
That's what we do here. But this episode is the beginning of season two. And last week we listened to Dallas kind of deconstruct or reimagine, I should say, the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Right.
What did you think of that before we get started for this week?
Again, you know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan was good. In Dallas Jenkins' story, the Samaritan was bad. Right?
The
Samaritan was the criminal. So, wait a minute. It's not, the parable's not called the Bad Samaritan, it's called the Good Samaritan, but he turned it into the Bad Samaritan. So,
right.
I mean, you see, that's just another example as to how asinine this guy is.
Mm-hmm. First, he tells it as if it was a real event that Jesus was talking about, something that really happens, but then he flips it and makes it all about the criminal and criminal behavior. And I'm like, well, what is Dallas trying to say? Because in a lot in this series, we've been noticing how he interjects modern things into this first century story. And I was thinking, well, you know, is he glorifying the criminal? Because when the guy begins to tell his story, the first thing he says is he talks about his family was starving, they had nothing, and he got pulled into this criminal act and how his story went. And I've noticed the debasing of society, like you said, where they're doing that now, where they're justifying criminal behavior. And since in Dallas's telling of the story, it almost looks like Jesus is rewarding this behavior because supposedly he's God, so he knew what happened in this situation. But he goes there with all his food and all his stuff, and it's like he had John and James plowing the guy's field. So it's like, it's just weird. It just seems like what Dallas is interjecting, some of the stuff that's happening now where we make excuses for these criminals.
Right. For example, they're making, you know, when you look at the left or the liberals, they're making excuses for all the people now who are going into the San Francisco shops and are looting.
This is reparations,
right?
and they're trying to feed their families or whatever.
Correct. It's the same mindset, right, that's coming across. Mm-hmm. For years we heard about, let's help the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Okay, but okay, so we know that there's a difference between Jews and Palestinians, right? We know that there's been that conflict. But
yeah,
when you look at the Palestinians, they only want to keep blowing things up. They don't, you know, they don't want to come to the table. Everything in their mind is reparations. We want to blow you up. This was our land. This blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And this land was stolen from us or whatever. And so
right
now you have the liberals in America, even liberal Jews, supporting the Palestinians rather than supporting the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States appeasing them, we've given the Palestinian Liberation Organization for years, we've been giving them money. For years.
Yes.
Giving these people money. Just like we gave the people in Afghanistan money. And what did the people in Afghanistan, I mean, we propped up those governments, giving them money, and what did they do the moment we pulled out? What is it? The whole thing collapsed. The president of the country fled to another country with all the millions that we gave them,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just a complete debasing
right.
is what the Bible calls. Dallas is basically calling evil good and good evil. That's
right.
it. I looked
yeah.
at that episode and I was scratching my head. I said, wait a minute. Isn't the Samaritan supposed to be good? Did I get my Sunday school
right.
lesson right? But here the Samaritan was
that's
bad.
That's what I thought, too. And I went back to look at it, you know, it's in Luke 10. I'm like, and that wasn't even the point of the parable. Jesus was emphasizing loving your neighbor as yourself to the Pharisees and stuff who were asking him questions about certain things, and they were those trick questions they like to try to ask the Lord
mm-hmm.
to tangle him up. And this was one of the parables that he told them to emphasize that.
Yep. Yeah, so no.
But Dallas completely missed the point of the parable in his reimagining.
Yeah, and like you said, he's pushing an agenda.
Okay.
He's pushing
yeah.
a storyline, right? And that's
mm-hmm.
what he's doing. He's. It seems to me like, he's in bed with these radical organizations that today are trying to remake. And again, listen, I'm not standing in defense of America. America's
right.
nasty history is all out there. Nobody,
right.
I don't need to defend what Thomas Jefferson did, what George Washington, I don't need to defend any of those dudes. What was done in the past. It's all ugly. The same way I don't need to defend what Biden does now. I don't need to defend what Trump did. I'm not there to defend
mm-hmm.
these guys. Their record stands
right.
for itself. Look, no matter where you go, let's say you go to church. You're never going to find the perfect church. Everybody in there is flawed. You come to my house, you look at my wife, my kids, you look at me, we're flawed. Where are you going to go and find anything perfect? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask my mother-in-law for reparations. I'm going to tell her, you owe me. And what's my wife going to do? Run over to my family and ask them for reparations? What are the kids going to do? They're going to sue me and their mama for the way we brought them up? Right? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy world. But one thing you don't tamper with. See, one thing you don't mess with.
The Lord.
Don't mess with Jesus. Don't mess with his gospel. Don't mess with his work and ministry. Don't mess with him. Now you're in big trouble.
That's right.
Now you're in big. You want to rewrite American history? Go ahead. You want to whitewash the Holocaust? Be my guest. Go ahead, but don't mess with Jesus.
Mess with it. Yeah, you want to reimagine Batman and Superman and all them folks? Knock yourself
right.
out, but don't mess
right.
with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's it. And he is doing that, like you said. In each one of these episodes, it's another agenda. It's an
mm-hmm.
undermining of another thing. That's
right.
what he's doing.
So I think we left off right as Jesus was finishing with his visit with this Samaritan guy. I believe at the 1 hour, 6 minute, 19 seconds, somewhere in that area where they were just getting ready to leave is where we stopped it last week.
Okay, so what about if I bring it back to 1 hour and 6 minutes?
Yeah, that's
so
fine.
Okay, so 1 hour, 6 minutes, this way we can pick it up where he's finishing up the parable of the bad Samaritan.
Right.
Okay, here it is.
help someone like me.
He would.
Sleep on it. We'll be in town for one more day.
Yes, I sleep.
We better go back into town before it gets too late.
Yes. We never know what sort of men may lay in wait along the side of the road, huh? Too soon?
You told him.
I think you already knew. May I? Sleep well tonight, my friend.
So that ends that scene there. He says goodbye to the Good Samaritan.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
You're sure this is it?
I don't know.
This is the address I was given.
I'll be honest up front. I only have 5 extra bedrooms, and 2 of them are drafty.
Can I ask? They usually sleep on the ground. I think they'll be fine.
Are you sure this isn't a problem?
I'm dying anyways. I don't need the house anymore. Where is Jesus? You have certainly livened things up around here. You got me in a good mood just to fit in. Come in.
Right.
One of the rooms is haunted by my dead grandmother.
Oh, I'll take that one.
Do you know who he is? He's not afraid of ghosts.
I might be.
You want to explain that little scene there?
Yes, okay. Like you said, they ended the visit with the Samaritan and his family, the bad Samaritan. And then they were in town to spend the night, and I guess they had made arrangements to spend the night at the home of the woman at the well, who apparently in Dallas's rendering of this story has gone back to her last husband who wouldn't give her a divorce. I don't know if you remember that part from the episode where he burned the letter of divorcement or something that she tried
right.
to give him. But so now after her encounter with Jesus at the well, I guess she decided to reconcile with him. And now they're going to spend the night at his house. And they had the little Jesus jokes about the guy says the one of the rooms is haunted. And Jesus is like, oh, I'll take that room. You know, so
Right.
You know, that's what you were hearing, them getting settled in at his house. And then it cuts to morning at where the celebration you heard, or the screaming and laughing you heard, was back at the Bad Samaritan's house, where he realizes that his leg has been healed. He's not, he was getting out of bed and he fell, and then all of a sudden he realizes that his leg is healed and he doesn't need the crutch anymore. So they're dancing around and celebrating that. And then it, you know, bro stopped at where we're cutting back to Jink and Jesus lying in bed smiling, because he's knowing that the guy's just realizing he's been healed. So that's what we heard, and what the scene we're going to get into next. So what say you about that, brother?
Yeah, at the end there, Jesus is in bed in the morning, and we know this Jesus has a trouble getting out of bed. But
sun's high in the air, the sky.
Right. Exactly. But there he is in bed, and, you know, it's like he knows that the guy was healed, and he's smiling. He knows,
yeah.
You know, he's at one house, but he knows, because supposedly, you know, he's omniscient. So he knows what's going on in the other, and he's smiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that scene ends. But, again, this is all, look, this is like Hansel and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel was made up. This is made up. None of this
mm-hmm.
happened.
Exactly.
None of these people existed, right? I mean, except for the Samaritan
right.
woman. She never opened her house to Jesus. Jesus never slept over. The Bad Samaritan,
we don't know.
Is a, you know.
We don't
never
know if she went back to her husband or not.
Right. Right. So this whole episode is just nonsense, pure nonsense.
Right. We
but
do
I'm,
know
I'm
that
pretty...
Jesus did spend 2 days in Samaria ministering, and they believe on him, but the Bible doesn't go into details of what that looked like, or what exactly he did or said there.
Well, you know, when you look
but
at the Bible
But it probably looks like a lot of the things that he did, that the Bible does go into detail about, so there was no need to do it here.
Right. And think about it. According to this episode, Jesus is basically spending 2 days with two people. Where
mm-hmm.
the biblical account is, he's concerned about the city of Samaria. Jesus is
right.
Jesus is doing, you know, open air preaching, right? He's trying to get to the masses, not just the two families. And not that two families are not important, but that's not what
mm-hmm.
the account relates.
Right.
So, again, all right, let's see what else he's got going here in this next scene.
What's so funny? Oh, I just know of a family that's having an unexpectedly good morning. Who, Mele? What's happening? You don't even have to be there to perform miracles. Don't sound so surprised, John. One day you'll be given authority to do things I do. Even greater.
Wait. I'm sorry. Can you...
Did you hear that? Someday
mm-hmm.
you will be given the authority to do things that I do. Sorry. Uh-uh. Wrong.
Right. Exactly.
No, you would never be given
getting
the...
getting into that greater works idea.
Right.
That we'll be able to outdo Jesus, but that's not what the greater work he was talking about.
Absolutely.
It's talking about we can never outdo God.
Listen, the great work of salvation. How could I can't even save myself. How could I perform
right.
the great work of salvation?
Right.
Right? Instead of healing 10 lepers, how about starting out by healing a leper's dog? Start out with the, show me you can do that. Right? This is stupid. This is just, they're just so stupid. You know, right. It's just stupidity on parade. And no, you will never be given the authority to do the things that Jesus did, because only Jesus could do them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we know Jesus didn't necessarily have to be there, so to speak, to do miracles, because of was the servant of the centurion, where Jesus was gonna go to his house, and the centurion said, "No, I'm not worthy that you even come to my house, but just send your word." So we know that happened, but I don't think that. It may have been a one-time thing, and it was mainly because of his faith, because it appears that Jesus was willing to go to his house. You know, but Jesus, Dallas is making it look like this is something Jesus did just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, just to mix it up a little bit.
Correct. And you see, again, this has shades of Mormonism, because in Mormonism, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to be little gods too.
Yes.
You know, we're going to be given our own planet, and on that planet, God is going to plant me with two wives.
It's not just Mormonism, because remember the word faith prosperity, and I know that Dallas was a part of a church like that for a while. So even in that, there's the little God idea.
Right. So, no, again, this whole scene right here, where they're talking about a healing of this man ain't mm-hmm. even in the Bible. He doesn't exist. I mean, they're spending film talking about a guy who was healed that's not even, he never existed. That's the crazy part.
Like I told you, their plausibility is their favorite word. It could have happened this way. The stuff that the Bible doesn't talk about, they can just make stuff up about it.
Yeah. All right, let's see what else he's got in his bag of tricks.
You see that again? So, how did you sleep? Oh, it took me a while. I was a little scared by what Mariah said about this room being haunted.
Oh, come on. Not haunted.
Why didn't you correct him when he said it was?
I don't address everything at once with new converts, Big James. Well, I'm ready for breakfast. I'm thankful before you, living and enduring King, for you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Great is your faithfulness.
Pardon, excuse me. Oh.
The invitation from the treasurer stands.
And the priest.
The priest is a high risk.
Only if he wants to fight over whose Torah is better.
But a great reward if he believes.
And don't forget the leper colony.
Where are you going?
For a walk. We haven't made our plans yet.
Whatever the plans will be, I'm sure it will be a long day. And I need some time alone.
You need protection.
Enough with the protection. I'll be fine. I won't be long.
But where can we find you?
Seek, and you will find.
So what, he's playing a game now?
Yeah, that's becoming a common thing with Jesus, that he would, Jenkins Jesus, I should say, where he just indiscriminately disappears. I mean, and we know from the scriptures that the Lord did take time away, but most of the time he did it like early in the morning before anybody got up. But
right.
Jink and Jesus doesn't do that. And sometimes, you know, he would go off to himself. We know that. But this looks like aimless, just, you know, happenstance. It just things, it's haphazard, I guess, the word I'm looking for, where Jesus just ups and disappears. Oh, I need to be alone. Oh, I need to go think. Just a little bit of a spoiler alert. We're going to see that more and more in this season where he just disappears. But no one knows where he's at for hours or days at a time.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Okay, here's more.
His riddle.
It didn't sound like a riddle to me.
If you look for him, you'll find him.
What I heard?
Oh, yeah. What did you hear?
I heard you looked and couldn't find him.
You guys lost him for practically a whole day, Matthew said.
He goes where he wants, when he wants.
Yeah, well, we need to do better.
Can you believe these guys? They're digging the mud and suddenly they're running the show.
We just think we need some leadership, okay? Security concerns aside, we need a plan.
No matter what happens today, the real question is where will we be after we leave here?
We'll get to that. That's why James and I have outlined a plan for the next month. Beginning with a visit to the temple. His first appearance there since performing public signs.
A visit to the scribes at Qumran.
2 days preaching at Hebron.
All done.
He said we were excellent planners.
I'm pretty sure he said planters.
He applauded our execution.
He sent you to the farm. Teach you a lesson.
And we made an impression.
Let's vote on it. Sure. Okay. All in favor of John and Big James's plan?
I agree an agenda would be prudent.
I'm not voting.
Me either.
Why not?
Uh-uh. New guy.
Look, it doesn't matter what I think you should do or what you think.
All opposed? Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I, for one, am not okay losing him for long periods of time. I'm not okay arguing about where we're going every day.
So don't argue.
Jesus our plan.
The group said to leave it alone.
They also said he gets to make his own decisions. So, let's let him. Why do you think he picked us to plant those fields?
I'm starting to wonder about that. If I had known it was a Samaritan
field. Jesus will sort it out.
Rabbi!
You couldn't wait, could you?
Yeah, sorry, we just wanted to clear a few things up, if that's okay.
By all means.
You Jewish boys are far from home.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are. Shalom to you, too.
Here's our traditional Jewish greeting for you.
Don't lift a finger.
That was a warning. Try it again and see what happens.
Quiet, Big James.
Shalom to you, too. You filthy dogs!
I said quiet.
Let us do something.
What would that achieve?
Defending your honor.
They reviled and humiliated you.
They deserve to have bolts of lightning rain down and incinerate them.
Yes, fire from the heavens.
Fire?
You said we could do things like that. Say the word and it will happen.
Why not? We knew we couldn't trust these people. We shouldn't have come here in the first place. They don't deserve you.
Why do you think I had you work Melek's field? What was I trying to teach you? To help? You think it was just to be more helpful? Or to be better farmers? It was to show you that what we're doing here will last for generations. What I told Fotina at the well, and what she then told so many others, it's sowing seeds that will have a lasting impact for lifetimes. can you not see what's happening here? These people that you hate so much are believing in me without even seeing miracles. It's the message, the truth that we're giving them. And you're going to get in the way of that because a few people from a region you don't like were mean to you. That they're not worthy? What, you're so much better? You're more worthy? Well, let me tell you something. You're not. That's the whole point. It's why I'm here.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Rabbi.
As we gather others, I need you to help show the way. To be humble.
We will.
You wanted to use the power of God to bring down fire to burn these people up?
Well, it sounds a lot worse when you say it that way.
You too. You're like a storm on the sea. Come on. Thunder exploding out of your chests at every turn. In fact, that's what I'm going to call you from now on. James and John, the sons of thunder.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Today, it was not good. But strong passion can be a good thing when channeled for righteousness. I just may have to delay giving you that authority we discussed earlier, or in smaller doses, until you two calm down a bit. James, John, you look terrible. What happened?
What happened is that James and John needed to be reminded we're here in Samaria to plant seeds, not to burn bridges.
Master, we've brought a guest. I wanted to deliver an invitation to you personally.
Rabbi, this is Gershon, the priest of Sichar.
Ah, yes. I've heard a lot about you.
And I've heard a lot about you. You have blessed this village beyond our deserving.
The pleasure is ours to be here.
But we got word today might be your last day in Sichar.
Word travels fast.
Indeed, Rabbi, indeed. Would you do us the great honor of giving a reading from the scroll of Moses in our humble synagogue?
Of course.
So far, what do you think of this this presentation here?
Okay. I call this scene the staff meeting.
Right.
Where they're fretting over his schedule and who he's going to see and where he's going to go and how and losing track of him and all this stuff. And then James and John decide that they should be the ones. And so I'm like, is this supposed to be the greatest in the kingdom debate or something like that? And if it is, it's all wrong. One thing, Jesus was actually present there to address that. He didn't just take off as soon as he saw them arguing.
Right.
And then the encounter with the hostile Samaritans later on, and we talked a little bit about agendas being promoted. First of all, the location and the timeline is off because that whole rebuke and that whole incident happened at a different time in Samaria, a certain village. I don't think it was Sychar. And it wasn't about hostile Samaritans. It was about somebody that they saw that where they just didn't receive them when they went in to spread the word about Jesus coming. And they got upset and wanted to bring down fire from heaven. So Jesus rebuked them for that. It, you know, in Luke 9, is it 51 through 56 is where that incident started with the fire down mm-hmm. from heaven. Oh, and by the way, Jesus gave them their Sons of Thunder nickname as soon as he called them. And you know, you see that in Mark 3:17. So the timing is jumbled, but the agenda that I wanted to point out once again is it looks like he had James and John plowing like beasts of burden to teach them a lesson because of their prejudice and hatred toward the Samaritans. It's like, do you think you're better than them? The stuff that Jesus said, which, by the way, he didn't say in the scripture account,
right.
But it's like he's promoting this social justice gospel in this as well. That's what I got out of this, is that so he was that explains the plowing, that they hated the Samaritans so bad because what James and John said when they left out of the house, if I had known that was a Samaritan's field. And I
right.
don't know if you remember back to the scene where the guy was telling his story about robbing the Jew when he first started out, and how talking about beating him up and everything, the camera switched and showed a shot of James and John. You get this look of disdain on their faces when he said that part. So Jesus is trying to deal with them in their prejudice in this whole thing that he's doing with them. So I said, social justice gospel alert.
right.
You know. So
yeah.
What do you think of the scenes, brother?
You nailed it. I mean, like you said, here's another subtle message, right? Here's another message in code, if you can decipher
mm-hmm.
it, right? And of course, mm-hmm. knowing what's going on in the country now, or what has been going on in the country for a number of years, and you look at this episode and you just say, oh, he's just trying to take social justice back into the first century.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's trying. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make Jesus the Jesus of liberation theology, basically,
yes.
right? A revolutionary. That's who he's trying to make Jesus out to be. And again, the sad thing is that none of this, we're discussing something that never happened.
Right.
Because the staff meeting never happened. If you read the accounts, Jesus was in complete control of everything. The disciples didn't plan for him. Remember, that's the whole purpose of being the rabbi. The rabbi, you know, it's
yeah.
like if I went to school. Look, you went to school, I went to school. When you sat down at your desk, did you give the teacher the lesson plan? Did you say, this is what we're going to study today? No.
No.
Or did you tell the teacher, today we are going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art? Did you have the agenda? Did the students have the agenda? No. This is asinine. This is just, and for John to say, had I known that it was a Samaritan field, well, dude, you're in Samaria. who do you think lives there? I mean, what do you?
Exactly.
I mean,
it put a big common sense that it would belong to Samaritan.
Right. If I was in South Africa, and I'm kicking myself, I said, look at Jesus. Jesus made me plow this field. Had I known that it belonged to a South African, well, I'm in South Africa. Who else is it going to belong to? This is stupid. This is just. I mean, right? Come on. If you're in Beverly Hills, you got to know that if you're cutting somebody's grass in Beverly, you got to know that the person you're cutting, they're rich.
Yeah.
You have to know that. It's not going to be some pauper. It's not going to be some homeless person. No. You know, certain locations just tells you, common sense, you know, who lives there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Right? If you went to China, if you went down to Chinatown in New York City, what would you expect to see? Would you expect to see Mexicans there? Would you expect to see Mexican shops? Will somebody be selling you a burrito in Chinatown? Nobody. Nobody. I mean, come on. This is stupid. It's just so stupid. It's like, not only do you need and then to think that Jesus is going to give these two dum-dums power and authority? They're that stupid and he's going to... No. Come on. This is silly. This is silly. Had I known it was a Samaritan field. Well, where in the world are you? Look at a map. Where are you? You know? It's like, wow. He didn't know it was a Samaritan. Wow. He must be really retarded. He must be one of Denson Franklin's ancestors. That's who he must be. Because, please.
Oh.
All right. Okay, here's more. Now, I'm watching this, right? They're in a Samaritan synagogue. The disciples are.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
And they are acting like ushers in someone else's synagogue. Now, first of all,
yeah.
We know, based on the previous scene, that Samaritans and Jews can tell each other apart. We know that. And that's why that other group spat on Jesus and his disciples, right? Because they can just tell them apart. You mean to tell me there's going to be Jews in our synagogue and they're acting like movie theater ushers bringing me to my seat? That doesn't even make sense. You are a guest. You're a guest at this. You take your seat and shut up. What are you doing directing traffic in this place? Telling the women where to sit and telling the men where to sit.
Because they're Jesus's armor bearers and adjutants or whatever. You know, they're working for the bishop, brother.
That's it.
Isn't that how they do it now with these highfalutin preachers and bishops?
Right. So I'm going to go to somebody else's house, and I'm going to tell his people where they can sit.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell some of the, This is crazy. This doesn't even make sense.
Yep.
Here they are. In proper order. Bereshit in the beginning. Shemot. Nes. Vakira. And he called Bamidbar in the desert and Devarim woods. I will leave you to make your selection in private. Thank you. Gershom. Yes, Rabbi. Can you send in my disciple John, please? Of course.
Five books of Moses, and no more. They're missing out on so much. Yes. But we have to start somewhere. What do you think I should read? Maybe Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. Or Balaam hitting his donkey when he was mad. Don't torment me. How about when Moses broke the tablets? Jonathan storming away from the dinner table. Samson striking down the men of Ashkelon. Oh, wait. They don't have those souls.
I get it.
I really am open to suggestions for the reading.
I couldn't. After today, after yesterday, I do not feel very much worthy.
Who's worthy of anything? You?
But no man, apparently.
I'm a man, John.
And yet...
I am who I am.
Have you made your selection, Rabbi? Rabbi?
Almost. Sorry. Almost. They're getting restless out there.
So, do you have a favorite passage from the first five?
Do you?
I don't know. I like them all.
You don't say. I suppose I love the beginning. I love how God simply spoke and the world came into being.
Yes. As David wrote, by the word of the Lord,
the heavens were made. You know, the Greeks use word to describe divine reason, what gives the world form and meaning.
I like that. And it is a favorite memory. A reading from the first scroll of Moses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the earth was void and without form.
And the Word was with God.
And the darkness covered the face of the deep.
And the Word was God.
Then God said, let there be light. And there was light.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
So basically what Dallas is trying to do here, he's trying to show how this is how John got his idea for the first chapter of his gospel, the wording.
Right.
Yeah.
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 And that he was there to help Jesus decide what scroll to read from.
Sure.
In Samaria. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, devoid, Dallas is just completely devoid of any biblical understanding. And listen, it's not like books have not been written on Bible customs and manners. Listen, not only have there been volume after volume written on Bible customs and manners, but there's even study Bibles. There's a Bible, I think, put out by InterVarsity Press, if I'm not mistaken, is called the Cultural Background Bible. The Cultural Background Study Bible. It's a huge book. The Cultural Background Study Bible. So whenever you come across a passage and there's something there to do with culture, it highlights, you know, there's a commentary on the bottom of the page. So there's all kinds of Bibles that this guy, he didn't need the Jewish expert or the evangelical expert. Just get yourself a cultural background study Bible, and he would have understood that
Did some of the other films that we've seen in the past get this at least closer to correct than Dallas? I mean, I don't get it. And we're once again talking about Hollywood for the most part.
Right. Sure. We're not even talking about, because I don't ever recall Mel Gibson saying he was a professed Christian. I don't ever recall Mel Gibson saying he's born again. Did you ever hear him say that?
No.
I never heard him say that. And if he has, I mean, that's a shock to me. But the movie was spot on. I would say the movie was very spot on. And you know, he doesn't have a daddy who wrote a Left Behind series, who could have advised them. You know, this is all, like you said, the chronology is off. People who don't exist now exist. They're part of the biblical narrative. Having two men plow a field. If I was to show that clip to some Amish farmers up here, and they would say, "What is that?" I said, "Well, that guy is the Apostle James. He's pulling a plow." The Amish guys would start laughing. They would be rolling on the ground.
And I'm sure, because if the Lord wanted to teach them a lesson, that he could have done it in a different way. But as we know, that just didn't happen.
Right. No. Again, this is just, it's just one complete mess. One complete mess. I remember knowing a young lady who was starting to cook. She was starting to cook. And the first meals that she made, I had to swallow real hard because it was a mess. It was just a mess. Right? I mean, my eyes are rolling back. That's how horrible it was. But today she's a whole lot better. And this guy's, I mean, this is just, this, do you see any value in this? Do you see any kind of value in this? Is it any merit in this?
If I hadn't done any nitpicking, it might be a smidge of entertainment in it. But other than that, no.
Because, again, I mean, this Jesus loves to wink. He's always winking, always cracking a joke.
Disappearing. He gets up late.
Ah, you know, this again. His disciples are making his itinerary. You know, Jesus says, I got to go to the cross. Peter says, oh, no, you're not going to the cross. What did Jesus do? Rebuke them. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're my student. Remember, the student, the disciple is never greater than his master. Don't forget your place. Right. I'm the one who, I will make you fishers of men. He's the one who sets the itinerary. He's the one, he tells his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. I must go here. I must, and they just follow him.
I must even go into Samaria. It was the same type of thing. And they were like, okay, Lord. There had been some greatest in the kingdom and who will be at his right hand discussions and stuff like that. But it wasn't this constant trying to control the Lord's movements and who he talked to and where and when.
And even the thing about bodyguard security.
Jesus didn't just duck out in the middle of those conversations. He would address it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, I don't, and when Jesus spoke mysteriously, right, and then the Bible says as soon as the crowd left, then he explained the mystery to his disciples. He says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And he explained what he had just told the crowd.
Yeah, he did.
So I don't see any merit. This is a useless episode, just completely useless. Again, it doesn't make any chronological sense. Jesus says, seek and you will find. Well, you never find that phrase by itself. That phrase is part of a bigger paragraph.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't say, I'm playing hide and seek, seeking you shall find.
Yes, it wasn't about him ducking out and them not knowing where he was going to be or for how long.
Exactly. So, no, again, this is just I don't find nothing redeemable in this episode. If I was a critic, right, if I was Siskel and Ebert, in a spiritual sense, I will say thumbs down. This stinks. There's nothing. This movie makes absolutely no sense. This episode, nothing makes any sense.
No,
nothing.
It doesn't.
So, all right. Let's go to audio
that
number
I find
two.
It,
yeah. I'm sorry.
Fine. The thing that I was just going to say is that, you know, I kind of like to look at biopics or biographical movies about different people or movie stars or singers or whatever. And one thing that I notice about those things is that, yeah, they do take some creative license with them, but I tell you, they're fans will come after you like rabid dogs if they feel like you're not telling the story right or you're taking too many liberties. And people will do that with those type of movies, but no one seems concerned about them, Dallas, doing the same thing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even other Christians.
Right.
You know, because listen to this comment below this video. I've been a Christian all my life, and I was shocked when I realized that I really didn't know Jesus this way. I think I cried so much, it was pure joy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jesus'
right.
people don't have any problems with this depiction of his life.
Right.
But boy, if you get Tupac Shakur's life story wrong, boy, his fans will take your head off.
Correct. And again, that goes to the world. See, Jesus said the world hates me. So if the world hates Jesus, we expect them to debase Jesus and they'd be okay with it because they hate Jesus. But the world loves you know, Tupac. They just love him or Biggie, right? And don't mess,
right,
you
right.
know. Don't mess with Elvis now. Don't you know.
Yeah.
So that's it. You know, don't mess with Aretha Franklin now. Don't mm-hmm. you know, don't talk about you know, whoever. But Jesus, you can trash him all you want. Why? The world hates him. The world doesn't
mm-hmm.
love Jesus. The world can't stand Jesus. They can't stand
right.
him.
Right. But Christians seem to love this stuff, but
right.
Dallas is supposed to be a Christian.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, Jesus said, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? And he would say,
mm-hmm.
I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me.
So when Dallas says, Jesus, didn't I bring you five loaves and two fishes, Jesus is going to say, depart from me.
That's it. That's it. You did it. Your daddy did it to make more money. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
The pride of life, the pride of life. You wanted to be successful. You wanted to leave. See, in life, the preacher is not supposed to be out to make a name for himself. He's to preach one name, the name of Jesus.
That's it. Right.
Forget about making a name for yourself. That's the world's mindset. That's what the devil would have you to focus on. You focus on one name, and that is the sweet name of Jesus.
That's right.
That's it. So this is I saw the episode. The first one stunk it up. The second half was even worse. You know, this again makes no sense whatsoever. No sense.
None.
All right. So let's move to the second audio.
Right. The second audio is episode number 2 of season 2. And the name of this one is I Saw You. And to get started on it, you can move it ahead to 19 minutes and 30 seconds or as close to that as you can get.
Okay, 19. Yeah, he's talking up a storm here. He's got an aqua hoodie, and he's trying to sell something.
Yeah.
So
of course.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. He's trying to work that crowd like, what's his name?
Leroy Thompson or Kenneth Copeland or somebody?
No, Robert Tilton. He reminds me of Robert Tilton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah. Okay, here it is.
The seawater for the cement, Leontis.
It will take 3 days. You can't stop construction for 3 days. It's because I'm Jewish.
Now that I know, it's not because you're Jewish.
I've been telling you. And anyone I can get to listen. I even told the prince. I need that salt water or the cement won't set to full strength.
Seawater's heavy. Hard to move. Understand?
Slams are hard to draw. Bedrock hard to reach. It's all hard. But your incompetence is making it harder.
Careful.
Hey, I'm just telling it like it is.
3 days, Nathaniel. You're in no position to make demands. You're lucky enough to have
That's
this
why
job.
I have to demand what I need, Leontis. Do you know how hard I've worked to earn a Roman commission? As a Jew.
You're a child that skipped the line. The men don't respect you for that.
Skipped the line? Just because I was smart enough to go to school instead of getting mud.
20 men show up every day. Who cares what they think?
I care. They need to share a vision.
They need to each do their jobs. The day laborer, the craftsman, the foreman, and the architect.
Yes. In concert with me.
Who do you think you are?
I am the foreman here. You think that if everyone would just do it your way, that it will all turn out?
I do.
Well, people have their own ideas.
still ruined. Do you hear me? It's over!
All right, so explain this to us here, what just happened.
All right. This is the introduction of another apostle, finally.
Okay.
Nathaniel. That's supposed to be Nathaniel in his pre-Jesus life. This is another one of those foreshadowings that Dallas likes to do. And he's depicting him as some sort of designer or architect. And he's working on some construction site and trying to show that he belongs there, he deserves to be there. And then some sort of disaster happens where the building collapses in on a lot of people, and the foreman is telling, you're out of here, you'll never work again, blah, blah, blah. And so that is what the scene we just listened to is Nathaniel and I guess his backstory, which the Bible doesn't really say a whole lot about what he was doing before Jesus called him.
So Mary Magdalene joins the team in season one, and Nathaniel joins the team in season two. Does that make sense?
No. So, of course, you know they'll pick up Philip as well because they were called around the same time in the scriptures. At least,
right.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, it's crazy.
So Nathaniel missed a whole lot of the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? Because he missed Jesus's
missed the wedding.
Baptism. He missed the wedding,
yeah,
the baptism, right?
Dallas didn't show the baptism at all. He didn't show any of that.
Well, Jesus can't get baptized now. So, but,
right.
but in theory,
he missed
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, he missed. They all missed it. So, wow, this is weird.
Well, is this land, with Dallas, the way he's doing this, the disciples and the baptism and what you showed us in the scriptures about how they all had to be present, that was a qualification.
Right.
Is that Dallas kind of doing what a lot of these guys do now, is discounting what the Bible says constitutes a legitimate apostle in that argument that as whether they're still apostles of the day and, you know, you don't have to meet those biblical qualifications anymore. You think that's what this is about?
It could be. I don't know. I know that the NAR would like this. The NAR,
definitely.
Because, you know, see Peter Wagner and the NAR, you don't need to have, you know, those qualifications, they don't apply to us today. They only apply to the
right.
original 12. No. No one can be an apostle of Christ without having witnessed that. And, of course, we know that Paul was an extraordinary case, right? Because Jesus
mm-hmm.
met him on the road to Damascus. And if you read Paul's letters, on numerous occasions, he'll say, and the Lord Jesus appeared to me and gave me this, right? But we know he was an
right.
extraordinary case. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
An apostle born out of due season. Because he was not with the 12. We know that.
Right.
But after him, that's it. It's over. It's done with.
Right.
It's over. Okay, here's more.
These 2 days' work, he said, to leave enough firewood for the next weary traveler. You heard that, John?
Mm-hmm.
What if there isn't enough? Used up all the dry stuff. Well, it's good to have some strong bodies around, like the Sons of Thunder here.
What, you told him?
Don't worry. He made himself look just as bad as you did.
Hey. Who is that?
Maybe it's a scout from... Well, we said Ushia. Maybe he's just walking.
No one just walks in the Bashan.
No one but us.
Don't come any closer!
Shalom!
He's Jewish.
You think?
What do you want?
For the Romans to go away. For a pretty wife someday. I ate a fattened goose once. I love that again. Are you followers of the Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth?
Don't say anything. Could be a spy.
Spying for whom? For what? There are spies. But they're not smart enough to dress like this. Are you Simon? Son of Jonah?
Who are you?
You're new at this. I get it. Once you've followed your rabbi for long enough, you won't even blink when a strange man such as myself walks out of the woods with a message he can only give to Jesus directly.
Yeah, we are pretty new.
Doesn't make us dumb.
We can't let you see the rabbi without knowing your business.
I can't say. If you want to send me away, fine. Say hello to my friend Andrew for me, though.
What do you think?
I don't know. Bring him in, I guess. Let Jesus figure it out.
Something's not sitting right with Simon.
And who has friends?
Philip! Hey! There he is!
Wow! You smell terrible.
What did you expect, huh?
Come on!
What are you doing here?
What's he doing there? Jesus called him. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, I guess. I mean, we don't know where Jesus is at, but Philip just seemed to turn up where they were camped out at, but we know that's not the way it happened in the scripture.
Right.
Philip and Nathaniel were called maybe a day or two after Jesus' baptism, when he went into Galilee and he found Philip, and then Philip got Nathaniel and how that whole thing progressed. But it was pretty quick, like we've been saying. I mean, oh boy, this is almost you about to get a headache trying to follow Dallas' timeline.
Right, and when Andrew says to Philip, "What are you doing here?" Well, anyone who's part of this circle of disciples had to be called to be a student.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What are you doing here? What, you lost your job and you just started to you decided to hang out with us for a couple of weeks and see what comes up, you know, see what job comes up.
And then Philip says he has a message only for Jesus, but we know that didn't happen.
Right. So let's see. I'm curious. Let's see what this is about.
Somebody said that. You never mentioned a Philip when we were there.
You'll find this shocking, but I have a whole life that doesn't revolve around you.
Hold on, just asking about this kook.
He's not kook. You know, you could be a little less you all the time.
Fair enough.
You take it to him. Make nice.
Back 5 minutes. Philip. You'll never know when you get to sleep next. Or when you have clean water. Take advantage when you've got either one.
Like you're in a war out there with John the Baptizer.
No. War has rules.
What did you find?
Nothing suitable.
Of course you didn't find any. Where did you look?
To the east, 1 mile.
That's the ravine. Anything you'd find there would be...
wet. Yes, I discovered that.
But there was wood?
It was wet. That's Matthew. He checks the ravine for wood. Probably fishes in the desert, too.
Good work, Matthew.
Thank you. Who are you?
I'm the guy who drives wood. Now, if only you had an arsenal of weapons, we could do it in the manner of Ezekiel.
How did Ezekiel drive his wood?
No, it's the prophecy against Gog and Magog.
And then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and make fires of the weapons and burn them.
Shields
and bucklers.
Bows and arrows. Clubs and spears. And they will make fires of them for 7 years, so that they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest.
For they will make their fires of the weapons. Shall we? Hey! Keep the fire going.
One comment here says, looking forward to the second episode. Another person says, let glory fall and revival. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What say you about this introduction here?
Like we were saying, the Philip turning up is just completely different than the way it's depicted in the scriptures in John 1. You know, where it talks about that whole thing. And just because, now the Bible says Philip was from Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter, that doesn't necessarily mean that Andrew knew Philip, does it?
Right.
I mean, maybe I missed it, but does the Bible or any commentary say that they were friends?
No, it's just like if I lived in Brooklyn and Jay-Z and Beyonce lived in Brooklyn, it doesn't mean we met or we know each other, right?
Right.
It just means, you know, this is where you – a lot of people live in Manhattan with the movie stars and never see the movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, never meet them, never shake their hand, never talk to them. So, again, this is it's a hypothetical, you know. It's an imaginary friendship. And you know, the crazy thing is, here's the crazy thing: when Andrew says to his brother Peter, you know, I have friends you know nothing about. I have a life that you, that sounds like gay stuff to me. Like what? What? You? What do you mean you have another life? What are you talking about?
Who knows? It could be some cryptic messaging going on here with Dallas, because he does that a lot.
Yeah, this is just, you know, this is just weird stuff. Just weird.
Yeah, and wise Philip is more wisecracking than Jenkins Jesus, so this is gonna be interesting. And
yeah,
then,
looks a little like him.
He looks like him.
Yeah.
So, and that scripture that they were reciting, by the way, is Ezekiel 39:9-10.
Well, again, I don't know how that scripture applies because
about chopping wood.
when you read the Gospels, right? Whenever you read the Gospels, and they are referring to a prophecy. This was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. This was spoken.
Yeah.
All of those prophecies directly point to the main character, Jesus.
Right.
This prophecy here about wood chopping, what in the world does that have to do with Jesus or the kingdom of God? Nothing.
Exactly.
It's a misdirect, right? Isn't it a misdirect?
It's a little confusing. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it confused me. What?
That's
and then they mention Gog and Magog, which is very prominent in certain eschatology. The Gog and Magog war, because they mentioned that too.
Right. But again, that has to do with thousands of years in the future, has nothing to do with their time, right? Has nothing. I mean, we're waiting. You and I are waiting for that war. That's our time,
right.
Not their time.
Right.
So that makes, again, no sense whatsoever. And Jesus never brought that
either.
Up. I'm sorry?
No, he didn't. I was just saying
didn't.
I don't get it. I don't get it either.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand why they, again, all prophecies in the Gospels are messianic prophecies, except for the prophecies, you know, like in Matthew 24 and 25, where Jesus is revealing the future.
About the end time,
Right, exactly. But all other prophecies are messianic, and they all point to Jesus. So, all right, we are out of time. This was a very, very interesting show in that I am more convinced than ever that Dallas Jenkins, his whole agenda is, one, to distort the biblical Jesus, to completely make him over, completely. And then number two, right, to give people a Jesus that is not the real Jesus, which is the saving Jesus. So, see, because even in all these, like in the episode with the Bad Samaritan, right?
Right.
You don't even hear about him coming to saving grace. In other words,
not really.
his miracle was his leg, but not his heart. See the difference?
He showed up at the synagogue, but what does that even mean?
Who was saved? Who came to saving knowledge? That's not emphasized. What's emphasized is racial tensions were resolved. Another message, which is not the message of the gospel.
Right, it's the social justice gospel that is being promoted very subtly, but it's still there. You can see.
Correct. All right, so we stopped it at the 28-minute mark. And you, my dear sister, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll catch you on the other side of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And you have the last word.
Well, same to you as far as having a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and your new puppies. And just thank everyone again for listening. And also have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. Love on your family and your friends as best as you can. And most importantly, remember who we owe our debt of thanks to for what he's given us and how he's gotten us through this rough couple of years for all of us. So just have
that.
A great rest of your day and weekend, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.